Brian Noonan is playing on the radio, baby.
Chi-Town, stand up. Chi-Town, stand up. Chi-Town, stand up. 312.
Well.
Afternoon. Welcome, Brian Noonan, in for John Williams on this 4th of July from the Allstate Skyline Studio, high above the city, high above the river and the lake. A beautiful 4th of July here in Chicago. Hope you are having a wonderful day. We're here till 3 o'clock. Lots to get to. Always more fun when you are involved. 312-981-7200. That's the number. When you call in, you'll be talking to Ashley. She is producing the big broadcast today. If you're nice to her, you get to me. That's how it works. That is also the text number, so use it liberally. But use it politely, because really, it's a holiday and I'm not in the mood. 312-981-7200. If you want to keep up with us on social media, it's Facebook and Twitter, Brian Noonan Show, on those two formats. In just a few minutes, we will be talking to someone at Navy Pier. Lydia Jordan Parnell will be joining us. There's a lot going on at Navy Pier. We will keep you updated on what you can do when you go there today to see the fireworks and so much more, and how you can find out if the parking garages are closed and stay up to date on everything else that's happening with Navy Pier, because you know it's getting crowded already. We're also going to talk a little bit about President Trump's conversations with potential Supreme Court nominees. We will do that after 2:35 with ABC News. And we'll talk a little bit about road trips, because nothing is more American than a road trip. And perhaps you've been on a road trip and come across something that you just could not believe. It was such a surprise, such a find, that you had to share it with everybody. Well, now you can share it with us. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. I am very happy to be back in Chicago. We were in New York all weekend because our daughter moved there. And so we drove out the rest of her stuff to help her move into her her apartment. She'd been staying with a friend of ours. And I got to say, no matter what's going on in Chicago and how bad things get, and they do get bad, it's a great city. Let's not kid ourselves. A lot of wonderful things happen here. But there's problems like there are in any major city. But the one thing you can say about Chicago as you wander around is this place is clean. And I'll tell you, that is not the case in New York. My daughter is living in Brooklyn, but this is true for Manhattan and everything else. It's something I guess you get used to if you live there, but as a visitor, it's something that strikes you right away. The fact that garbage is piled everywhere. And it took me a minute to realize this. They don't have alleys in New York. You know, we have our dumpsters and stuff in the alleys. That's where the garbage trucks go. Well, New York, they just pile everything out in front. Out right in front of their building, right on the curb, right on the corner. Everywhere you go, there is a pile of garbage. And let me just say, when it is 100 degrees out with 98% humidity, not the most pleasant environment being created throughout New York with the garbage. But that's it. Just one of the things, because we were moving our daughter in, you know, we had empty boxes and things like that. And we asked her roommates, well, where do we put the garbage? Because there's no garbage cans, really. And the women she's living with just said, oh, we just take it down to the curb. You know, tomorrow's garbage day. You can just stack it out there. And I'm like, that can't be right. There's no chance that that's correct. As we're taking stuff down from my daughter's apartment, next door, the building's like, there's just garbage bags piled everywhere. There's boxes piled everywhere. And garbage bags that are oozing whatever, fluid, goo that's coming out of the garbage bags. So the streets just run clear with gunk. It's just horrifying. That to me is the biggest thing. Now this was my second time there in the last month, and I realize there's no chance I want to live anywhere near New York. This city, Chicago, is big, and it's bustling, and it's big enough. You get into New York, it's ridiculous. It took me yesterday trying to leave Brooklyn, and I wish I were exaggerating when I tell you this, and you will know that I am not. It took me an hour and a half to leave Brooklyn, to go 3 miles, it took me an hour and a half. Now, granted, it was 8:30 in the morning. But it was also, you know, the day before a holiday, so I didn't figure people would be that bad. I don't know anywhere here, except at a rare case, where it's going to take you an hour and a half to go 3 miles. So I get that is why everybody takes the subway. That's why nobody takes the bus. Or not nobody. That's why very few people take the bus. Everybody takes the subway. Just because it's traveling above ground anywhere in New York is a nightmare. So as you make your way around today, no matter how crowded it is, thank your lucky stars that you are here in Chicago. Thank your lucky stars that we live in a city where we put a priority on trying to keep things clean. And while we do have a rat problem, it is not anywhere to the extent of the rat problem in New York. There was a news story the other day. They had volunteer groups that go out with terriers at night to the parks and let their dogs loose to go after the rats. It's incredible. All right, listen. Enough of New York. We are in Chicago. And on the 4th of July, there's only one location to be in Chicago, and that's Navy Pier. We're going to talk to Lydia Jordan Parnell in just a minute. She is from Navy Pier, and she will tell you everything that is happening on and around the pier as the day goes on. We'll do that after this. It's Brian Noonan in for John on 720 WGN.
Might as well just drive and park at Navy Pier, right?
There you go. Well, we'll find out if there's any very good segue, Jen. You've done this before. Let's find out what's happening at Navy Pier. If the parking lot is full, if the parking lots are going to be good all night. Lydia Jordan Parnell is with Navy Pier, and she joins us now. Happy 4th of July, Lydia. Thanks for taking some time today.
Hi there. Happy 4th to you as well. Thank you so much for having me.
My pleasure. Sorry about the little glitch there. So everybody knows that the 4th of July is the time to be at Navy Pier. They also know that things get crazy. Now, it's only a little after 1 o'clock. How packed is the pier at this point?
Well, people are coming on down to celebrate the 4th of July. We've got so many things happening today. We have live music in the Miller Lite Beer Garden, tons of dining options and entertainment options, many located in the newly renovated 5th Third Bank Family Pavilion, and, of course, the city's only lakefront fireworks show, the AN Summer Fireworks presented by Miller Lite, with a 15-minute firework display synchronized to patriotic music. It's not to be missed. So far, you know, like I said, people are pouring in. But we do encourage people to arrive early because those parking spots do fill up.
Well, that's the thing. The parking does fill up, but it's very easy. On Twitter, people can follow at Navy Pier, and then they'll see what if the garages are full. If you're driving down, you're like, oh, I wonder if I can still park. Go to Twitter, follow at Navy Pier, and then you'll know exactly if you can park or not, right?
Correct. Twitter offers updates. NavyPier.org also offers updates. So we just encourage people to take a look at social media and our website to plan their visit ahead of time.
Now, this is a lot of times, or in the past, I should say, the fireworks have been on the 3rd with the 4th of July being in the middle of the week. Is that why things have changed and decided you guys said we're going to do them on the 4th, which I think is the best way. Today's the 4th of July. You do the fireworks on the 4th.
Correct. That's just kind of how the calendar worked out. Navy Pier offers the AN Summer Fireworks shows Memorial Day through Labor Day and on Wednesdays and Saturdays. This year landed on a Wednesday, so the timing worked out pretty nice.
It's perfect. Now, if people are coming to Navy Pier and they haven't been there in a while, or maybe this is going to be their first time there, of course, we'll talk more about the music and the dining on Navy Pier, but if they're coming to see the fireworks, is there a spot on the pier that might be a better location than another? I mean, you're going to see them from everywhere, but if I were coming early to stake out my spot, Lydia, where would I go?
I think that any spot along the South Dock at Navy Pier really offers gorgeous views of the fireworks show.
Very nice. And the people now will be able to hear the music going along with this 15-minute fireworks display. So that'll be it'll be entertaining for the entire time. Let's talk about some of the music. You mentioned at the Miller Lite Beer Garden, there's three different bands going on today, correct? Starting at 5 o'clock?
Correct. We've got Locomotive coming from 5 to 6, Concrete Roots from 30 to 7:30, and Marina City from 8 to 9.
Now, if you're coming down with your kids, can you bring your children into the beer garden, or the beer garden strictly 21 and over?
You can bring your kids. The Miller Lite Beer Garden is open to all. The performances are all ages performances, and there's no cover. So it's free free entertainment for people to enjoy.
That's the best price of all when you're bringing your family anywhere. You get the fireworks for free, and you can listen to the music for free. That's terrific. But, you know, sometimes you have to drop a little money, especially if you're hungry, which I, you know, whenever I'm out for a day on the pier, I'm always a little hungry. You mentioned a lot of different food varieties and food options. Give people some of those.
That's correct. There's a little something for everyone. If you're hungry for burgers or hot dogs or Asian cuisine, Italian, we've got a little bit of everything. And a lot of those options, if you haven't been to the pier in a while, are in our Fifth Third Bank Family Pavilion, newly renovated space. It's gorgeous. It's air conditioned on a hot day like today, and really has a little bit of something that everybody can enjoy.
And that just reopened not too long ago, right? The Fifth Third Bank Family Pavilion?
That's correct.
So everything is new, and as you mentioned, air conditioned, which is also one of the big selling points. Not that you need more selling points, but the Centennial Wheel, those, what do you call them, carriages are also air conditioned, correct?
Yes, we have air conditioned gondolas to be enjoyed year round, and what a great day to ride on the Centennial Wheel. Beautiful views of the city.
Beautiful views of the city. You're not going to be sweating even though you're in the sun. That's everything is, listen, I don't know how you're doing it, Lydia, but everything is stacking up at Navy Pier now to become just a wonderful thing. And am I correct? Is it the top tourist attraction in the city now?
We are one of the top tourist attractions or cultural
destinations
in the city of Chicago.
I would just go with the top.
I can say it's my favorite. And I think that we, you know, we're really striving to be the people's pier and offer not just in the summer, but year-round programs and experiences that really capture what Chicago is, and it's so exciting to be a part of that and see it all come together and see our guests enjoy it on days like today.
Well, today is a wonderful day to be at the pier, but some people aren't big fans of crowds, so they may be saying, well, wow, Lydia just said there's programs all year round. What kind of things are going on for somebody who may want to come next week or down the road a little bit?
Well, just kicking off this month, we have watercolors presented by CIBC. It's a jet series taking place at the pier. We've got ongoing series such as Water Flicks, our Monday movie night series at the Lake Stage in Polk Brothers Park. Fresh Fest is coming up as well, presented by Allstate Insurance Company. Just a slew of things, celebrating the best of Chicago culture and music and performance, all right here for free at Navy Pier.
And it's amazing the evolution of the pier. I remember back in the day when, you know, we used to have Chicago Fest there, and the pier was just kind of a dank little thing that jutted out into the lake. And we were like, not much happening at the pier. And over the years, over the last couple of decades, the Navy Pier has become just this centerpiece of the lakefront, and you guys are doing a wonderful job over there.
Thank you so much. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, listen, that's... It's easy to sell when you're proud of something, and it's one of those things where, you know, some people when you live in a city, I don't get to the pier as often as I probably should, but it's one of those things where I have no qualms telling people who are coming to the city, hey, should we go to Navy Pier? Yes, of course you should go to Navy Pier. You've got to go see it. It's a wonderful thing. Ride the Centennial Wheel, have something to eat, check things out. It's a lot of fun. And especially today, the 4th of July, you've got free music going on at the Miller Lite Beer Garden starting at 5 o'clock. The fireworks kick off at 9:30. That's correct? 9:30?
That's correct.
All right, so 9:30. And again, if you go to navypier.org, you can get all the updates on parking. If you follow at Navy Pier on Twitter, you can get all the updates on the parking. But head down early. There's a lot of stuff to do, and the earlier you get there, the better, because you can wander around. Anything else I'm forgetting, Lydia?
I think we covered it all again. Check us out at navypier.org and come down and spend 4th of July with us.
There you go. All right. Get down there and enjoy it. Lydia, have a great rest of the day, and thanks so much for taking some time this afternoon.
You as well. Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Lydia Jordan-Parnell. She works for Navy Pier. I have not – it's one of those things – we were taking an architecture tour along the river a couple weeks ago, and I said to them, there's things that, because I live here, I just have never done. Like, I've never gone to the top of the Sears Tower to go to the observation deck. I've been to the one at the Hancock Building.
I did make the comment to our colleague Don Kleppen earlier that I live in the city, so we don't go downtown to do anything.
Right. Yes, you're just downtown.
Yeah, that's where we go to work. We don't do anything else. But Navy Pier, I love running on the lakefront path and using Navy Pier as my aid station. You can grab Starbucks, Rainbow Cone. Hello.
Oh, they have Rainbow Cone
they
there now?
They do. Rainbow Stop. Cone put up... what's it called?
Like a pop-up?
Kiosk? Yeah, kind of by where that Miller Lite stage is that she was talking about towards the back of the pier in like 2016. So they serve rainbow cones there so you don't have to go all the way to the south side.
There, and you can, you know, run along there. You can find a nice restroom. You can walk in the air conditioning for a little bit.
Fill up water. It's perfect.
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. Everything you need is right there on the pier.
Yeah.
And now tonight you can see fireworks, which I love. I'm a sucker for fireworks.
Are you?
I don't know why. I don't like being in the crowd to see them.
Mm-hmm.
I like being off at a distance, and I'll admire them from afar because I don't like being around that many people. But, man, I love seeing fireworks.
I'm not a huge fan of fireworks, particularly because I have asthma, even though I do run a lot. And it really restricts my breathing when I'm around all of that smoke and the sulfur, and so it's not always the most fun thing.
That's why you have to, like me, watch from afar.
Exactly.
You see, it's like a beautiful picture postcard. I'm close enough where I can hear a boom,
mm-hmm.
but I'm far enough away where I'm not amongst the sweaty masses, the crying children and the drunks in tank tops that they really shouldn't be wearing. They pull them out once a year and don't realize that their body may have changed from the last few years, and so the tank top is now excessively small and sausage casing like. I don't need to be near those people. Yeah, but maybe that's the way to go, Jen. Or just watch them on TV today. watch them with Dean.
Or from the studios where we're at right now.
I bet we can see them from the studio. Oh, yeah, from your studio,
mm-hmm.
from the news and traffic area, you look right out over the pier.
Yeah, my shift goes until about then. That's plan. Yeah.
That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Perfect. All right, let's take a quick break. Then we will have some news, and we'll get into so much more. Yes, it's WGN. Whew, that was fast. I barely got a chance to... Oh, who's... Oh, Don Kleppinger? Is he doing... Who's doing the news? Who's
it's
in there?
It's me. It's Don Kleppen. Hi.
Hi, Don Kleppen. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm well. I'm sorry. I get all different kinds of notice of who's doing the news. And
totally
cool. I can't really see...
I know. I keep the microphone right in front of my face instead of the camera.
You are not camera friendly,
no.
Don. I don't...
I need the barrier.
Listen, that's all right. I understand. We're all in radio because we didn't want to be on camera. And yet... in this day and age, we are constantly on camera.
Yeah, somebody put him in here.
Yes, so that's fine. And people, if people are like, wait a minute, I don't know. I got to see this Don Kleppen character. I go to WGNradio.com because that's where he's hanging out.
Indeed.
We're all hanging out. And I hate it because I keep looking at these new monitors and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't have worn a white shirt. That's not good. That's not good for on camera. I need to wear something maybe a little darker hue with some sort of print.
Yes, dark colors.
Yeah, dark colors because the camera adds in my 40, 50 pounds in my case. Camera is very, the camera is a harsh mistress.
It's ruthless.
You know that.
Ruthless.
Listen, it's 1:30. After the news, we are going to talk a little 4th of July. I want to hear your 4th of July traditions. We'll talk a little bit about the national anthem and Nathan's. So a lot to get to after the news. This report is sponsored by Oral Screen. ScreeningTest.com. Don Kleppen is in the newsroom. Brian Noonan in for John Williams on 720 WGN. Happy Independence Day. Happy 4th of July. A lot of traditions of people around the 4th of July. I want to know yours, 312-981-7200. I have to ask Don, though, before you walk away from the news desk to do more reporting, I have to talk to you about one of the stories you did. Did you say one of the biggest complaints that hotel staff has is guests opening their door naked? Is that did I hear that story right, or am I just, you know, looking into other people's windows out here and imagining things?
No, John, you are correct. That was the most common complaint that workers reported in terms of what they've experienced as sexual harassment incidents by guests. Yeah.
Wow. Well, it's Brian, first of all, but that's all right because I messed up your name.
I'm so sorry.
Right. Don't worry about it, Don.
John, Brian, Brian,
yeah.
John.
Brian.
Eric,
Lon,
Don.
Lon Reppinger. That's all right. Listen, Don, that's okay. So wait, people are over. I just don't know how people think.
I don't know.
I would never dream of opening. I barely like to walk around my house naked.
At a hotel in a strange town?
Right. Well, maybe that's why, because it's a strange town. Hey, I'm in Peoria. Who cares? I'm going to dangle right here at the roadway inn, just wander out. That seems horrifying.
And it's crazy.
Could you bring me more towels? Well, that's why I needed more. And then you open the door naked. Well, I told
asked you
I
for
more towels
20 right. minutes ago.
I needed to wrap something around me. I had nothing. What about your pants? Those are too binding.
They're dirty.
Because, yeah, I like to come in. I like to lay on the bedspread and invite whatever bacteria are on there. You know, have, Dave Savini come in with the black light, shine it on my bedspread, see what kind of horrible crime scene was happening there a couple
of days. Expose everything.
Yeah, I just, oh, man.
That's why the only hotels I really trust are the ones at Walt Disney World.
You don't think somebody's going to answer the door just a Mickey Mouse head and nothing else? Hello?
Oh, man.
Hi, lady.
I hope not.
Here's your room service.
Would kill my whole everything up until this point in my life.
That would be so. Wait, even at Disney, you would not open the door naked, though.
Oh God, no.
Okay, but you would trust that the staff is not going to do it as well.
Well, you know, I mean, they did come into our hotel room once when my husband was sick and he was in bed, and I forgot to put the do not disturb. So I can understand, like, if they knock on the door and there's no do not disturb sign
sure.
in the middle of the day, how they could see that, but. Other than that, answering the door in the complete buff.
Yeah,
like,
that's...
Don't people have pajamas?
Well, you're some sort of weirdo at that point. Because that's you don't do that by accident. It's never like, oh my gosh, I forgot I didn't have any pants on.
Or do they wait there and they're like, oh yeah, the hotel staff's coming. Let's go.
Where's my mac and cheese? Knock, knock. Hello? No, that's... So where are the panic buttons going to be on their person? Are they going to have some sort of alarm? Because you want... You're not going to go in, excuse me, naked man, I have to come in your room and press a panic button.
Yeah, I'm going to have to take a look, but I'm guessing they have to be on like a necklace or something, because if it's on the cart, you'd have to dive back outside the room and hit it real quick.
What kind of society are we living in that's even a problem nowadays? That, you know, people in housekeeping, or I call maintenance to come up because my air conditioner's not blowing, and all of a sudden they walk in and here we are having some sort of weird naked man orgy. Most people don't look good naked anyway, but that's not the point. They're not doing it because they look good. It's just, well, happy 4th of July. Thanks for bringing that up, Don. It's, you know, now, thankfully, I was in a hotel this weekend. I didn't answer. Well, I didn't have anybody come to the door, but I didn't answer it naked. I didn't just wander the halls naked either. All right. It's the 4th of July. Big, big, big traditions on the 4th of July. One of the biggest, of course, Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Well, the results are in. It's been reported already. You may have heard it. You may have already vomited out of disgust. Joey Chestnut, once again, wins the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. 74 hot dogs and buns in, a minute? Yeah. He took 74 in a minute. Unbelievable. This guy is... is it a minute? I don't know. Can't tell. Either way, it's very, very fast. But originally, yeah, 10 minutes. 10 minutes for the American woman, Miki Sudhu. She took home her fifth straight title. Joey got his, even though at first it looked like he only ate 74 hot dogs, or 64 hot dogs, and the counter was wrong. The counter missed an entire plate of hot dogs, giving Joey 10 more, so 74 Franks and buns. In 2016, he became the first competitor to ever hit 70 hot dogs, took down 72 last year, and 74 Franks and Buns this year. He won $10,000 for being a glutton. There's no... I like hot dogs, and I can put away a couple hot dogs. I think I'm like most of us. There's no chance I could put away 72 hot dogs.
Do you think you've put that many away in the past year?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
It may be the last decade I haven't eaten 74 hot dogs.
Right.
You know, two is about an average limit. One is what you should eat mm-hmm. if you're a healthy American.
Mm-hmm.
Two is what you eat if you're, you know, a bigger guy or you're really hungry or you're at a cookout and you've had a couple of beers.
Or you're at a Portillo's.
And you go with the two. Yeah. And most places have the two hot dogs and fries combo. So, mm-hmm. Two hot dogs, I understand. But any more than two hot dogs... You might have a tapeworm. Something's going on with you because there's nothing good is coming from three or four hot dogs. And then to go 74.
Oh, man.
Dunking them in water, jamming them in your gullet, and then just trying to swallow. And this is his 11th win in 12 years. So this is his thing. Now, I saw him on He was on The Amazing Race. Do you watch The Amazing Race, Jen?
I haven't watched it in years, but I used to. So I know the concept.
Yeah. So he and another competitive eater were on the last season of The Amazing Race. They didn't do very well, and they couldn't stop talking about how they were competitive eaters. Everywhere they went, well, we're competitive eaters. That's going to help us. No, only if you're eating your way through Belgium is it going to help you. It's not going to help you just, you know, trying to use a map or get you know, use your brain power somewhere. He was, it was very disappointing.
That's a lot of fuel that you put into your body. So with being a competitive eater, does that mean that they're really strong and really fast because they have so much fuel?
No, they look they look like regular dumpy guys. Hmm. They don't have great physiques. They're not they're not buff or
not
ripped.
The fastest then in the race.
No, and they run. They kind of run weird. Ran weird. They ran like guys who don't run. That's what they ran like guys who sit around and eat a lot of food.
Ugh.
That's what they. But they're not as. And this has always amazed me too. They're not as big as you would think they would be.
Yeah.
If your job is competitive eater, I expect you to have to get rolled in here in a caftan and a wheelbarrow. I don't see you being able to walk. But that's not the case with these competitive eaters. They're usually regular height or whatever, but or even smaller. Like that Kobayashi guy was tiny when he, because he won 6 years in a row. Kobayashi did.
But I remember him.
Yes, but then he got this I found hilarious. He got in a big beef with Major League Eating. He was in a dispute with the governing body, and so he quit going to the Nathan's hot dog eating contest.
I feel like I remember reporting that.
That's. First of all, who knew that there was a federation that oversaw all of these?
Yeah.
And what kind of gripe, what kind of grievance can you have other than monetary, I would imagine?
Hmm.
Well, they didn't give me the right temperature water to dip my bun in. So there you go. Every year we celebrate how gluttonous America has become. And I'm all for it.
Yay.
I don't want to do it, but happy 4th of July. That it, Jen, you're absolutely right. That is our freedom here in America. We can eat as many hot dogs as we want. We can do it in front of people who have no food at all. People who are sitting along Coney Island who are homeless or who have, scrounging to get some food. We can put platters and platters of hot dogs in front of guys who eat so many they don't even taste them. And then they roll away with big money. So.
All right, now you're just going to make me cry.
That's my job. Bring out emotion one way or another. You're either going to laugh or you're going to cry. Coming in, you know who cried? The man who came in the distant second, Cameron Cincotti. He only put down 45 hot dogs.
40? Wow.
Yeah.
What a, distance between the two of them.
Yeah, that's not even close.
Mm-mm.
That's Joey Chestnut. Probably on the 60th hot dog, he, slowed down and just taunted him. Gave him, a little, hi, when a wide receiver is running into the end zone and they do the high kick.
Yeah.
That's what Joey did. He just tossed the dog up in the air, caught it in his mouth. He was doing all sorts of crazy tricks because he knew there was no way that Cincotti was ever going to catch him.
Like he already broke his own record. So,
yeah,
keep the bar a little bit low for next year.
Sure, it's showboat time. Now it's time to it's time to celebrate a little bit. What are your, hopefully, maybe they're not, maybe or maybe they are. Maybe your traditions involve eating copious amounts of food on 4th of July. I know that's what a lot of people will be doing today at their barbecues. It's so hot. These are the days I don't enjoy going out to a barbecue. I don't want to eat when it's this hot, which is good in a way, but then it also makes you want to drink some more. So that's kind of rough. Did you know there was a extra verse in the Star Spangled Banner that we do not sing anymore? Oh, we have got that and some other secrets behind the Star Spangled Banner. And I would love to hear your 4th of July traditions, 312-981-7200. We'll get to all of that after this. It's WGN. Well, it's Wednesday in the park, and it is, in fact, the 4th of July. Brian Noonan in for John Williams, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. We're talking about some 4th of July traditions, the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest. Joey Chestnut, again, the champion. I got a text from Peter. You can always text us, 312-981-7200. Because he says competitive eaters rarely digest everything they put in their stomach. Most of them have to keep everything down for a certain amount of time. After that, they get rid of it. He says, no, I'm not a competitive eater. Two hot dogs is enough for him. So thank you, Peter. And the reason, according to another texter from the 630, that smaller guys do so well is competitive eaters say that layers of fat constrict the stomach from stretching.
Oh.
So that's why the smaller guys do so well. Well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
If your gut is, you know, weighed down by a lot of blub, you're not gonna, it's not going to stretch out.
But. Well, and like the body can't technically hold 72 hot dogs worth of calories, so you're going to be getting rid of that.
Right, somehow. Yeah. And it's going to, you know, it's got to, I can't imagine the bloat you would feel. You know, back in the day when I used to eat like a freed hostage at every meal, and you eat till you're in pain. I mean, that's been years ago, but I can't imagine that amplified by how many it would be for 72 hot dogs.
Yeah.
Or 74 hot dogs. That's,
it's just what we call like two ibuprofen and Gas X type nights.
I don't know. How do you even sleep? You just roll over on your side and just pray for an early death. It's just horrifying. I don't know. Usually on the 4th of July, if I'm not here, I'm like most people. I don't think my 4th of July traditions are anything exceptional. It's normally bratwurst, which it seems weird because it's not an American sausage. But I think around here, bratwurst is as American as having a hot dog or a hamburger. So it's bratwurst. And then usually I'll cajole my wife into making some potato salad. But this year, no potato salad this year because she, you know, we both just got back in town, and we got to go pick up the dogs later. So this year's 4th of July celebration, I'll just try to look at some fireworks from the car as I drive along and not wreck things. That's really it. Do you ever do anything particularly special for 4th of July, Jen?
Oh, God. I'm gonna all of a sudden take this and just, like, drive it into a moving train head on. Well, typically we would spend the 4th of July with my grandparents. Either they'd come to my parents' house or we'd go to their house. We'd have a barbecue. I'd make jello cake and put whipped cream and strawberries and make it look like a nice American flag. But both of them are no longer with us. So this year we're not spending the 4th of July with my grandparents. It's kind of sad. I didn't actually think about it until now. Thanks.
Oh, no. Well, so, wow.
Thanks.
You should have given me some sort of sheet. These are the topics to stay away from.
I didn't even think about it, but it does bring up great memories. So thank you for that, because I've always had beautiful 4th of Julys with my grandparents.
Well, see, and that's it, as unfortunate as it is that your grandparents are no longer here, the memories make those 4th of July things just a wonderful time to remember.
They do.
And down the line, it'll probably not get easier, but it won't. The sadness will come after the pleasant memory.
Yeah, I'll still need to make jello cakes. I failed on that one this year.
What is jello cake?
So you just take a white cake mix, you know, any of the store-bought brands.
Right.
And you cook it like you normally would, a white cake, and then you puncture holes with a fork throughout it.
Okay.
Make jello on the stove. Strawberry jello is pretty much my favorite, or raspberry. And then you pour it all over the cake.
Stick it in the fridge.
Yeah, it soaks in, but like the cake is super moist and it's got that flavor in it. And oh gosh, put some Cool Whip on the top of it and some fruit. Nice.
Now, does the jello, because the jello gets absorbed into the cake, does it have the jello texture or just the cake texture?
No, it's got the cake texture.
Cake texture. See,
it's got a very moist, dense cake texture.
I like that because I am not a fan of jello.
Yeah.
I'm one of the few Americans probably that detest jello.
No, like, I don't like it that way, you know, just as jello either, It's perfect when it's jello cake.
Jello cake. All right. I got to put that on the list.
And it's very low in Weight Watcher points. So that's a key one.
That is, see? Now, it probably depends on what you frost it with. As I'm a points connoisseur with Weight Watchers.
So wonderful.
Sure. So I know all about the point system. I don't trust the new one, though. Do you follow Weight Watchers, Jen?
I haven't. Like, I know the
new
system.
You don't need to. I was going to say.
No. I definitely need to. Just because, you know, as being an athlete, I need to know the appropriate amount of fuel that goes into my body. But yeah, the new point system, I didn't really get
into.
It's
something where supposedly you can eat all these food that have no points.
Yeah.
I don't trust that at all.
For some reason, every time I try to track that, it doesn't work for me.
It didn't, you know, because I lost a ton of weight on the old system.
Mm-hmm.
And I am at the point where I was trying to, you know, I gained a few back and I'm trying to lose those. And I tried this new, you can eat if anything off this list, you can eat as much of it as you want for no points. And I'm like, this can't possibly be correct.
Yeah, you can eat all the spinach.
Sure. And I can eat 18 apples and I could eat 400 chicken breasts. And I'm like, something's wrong. I like the old system where everything has a value.
Exactly.
There's a penalty for everything you put in your mouth.
Yep.
And that's how it should be. There's some sort, you've got to be responsible.
Yeah.
There's a reckoning. Nothing is free. I can't eat 3 gallons of yogurt for no points. That doesn't make sense.
Is yogurt no points?
The no fat, you know, the Greek yogurt with no fat.
And, yes, that's like my latest addiction.
Yeah. So supposedly, I was eating that every morning, a big cup of yogurt with blueberries in it and a tiny bit of granola. And I'm like, oh, and I was following along and eating these foods with no, and I wasn't losing any weight. And I wasn't cheating. I was like, this is nuts. I got to go back to my old system.
And then your body just wants carbs.
Yes. That's all it wants.
Get me bread. Right. Pasta.
Something, please.
Jell-O cake.
Now you're talking. Jell-O cake. We'll get Ashley to make us a Jell-O cake. We got 72 kitchens here.
We do.
Somebody should be whipping up a Jell-O cake. Or if you're just going to have hot dogs, I found what, you know, because people tend to drink a lot of beer on the 4th of July, as I'm a beer guy. But I've got to find something with a little less carbs, and I don't want to drink just, you know, those really low-carb, light beers if I'm going to drink something. So I may go to wine, but people think, oh, wine and hot dogs, that doesn't seem to go together at all.
Yuck.
No, please. I found this out. If you go with a nice Italian risotto, you will that will complement your hot dog like no other. And you may say, Brian, how do you know this? Well, I don't know it. I read it, and I'm going to tell you why it works. Why a risotto will go with a hot dog? Because these wines have, quote, crisp acidity of any well-made rosé that will help balance the fattiness of your hot dog. That's right. They're lightly grippy tannin, which used to be my radio name. Lightly grippy tannin. They will work with the protein for a super fun mouth party.
Super fun mouth party.
And that, you know what happens after a super fun mouth party? You open your hotel door naked when the maid comes.
Apparently, yes.
That's what happens. The juicy texture will mesh with the sharpness of any topping, ketchup, mustard, whatever. The salty aspect of both the wine and the toppings will go together. If you have onions, the sweetness of the onions will cut against the bitter edge of the risotto for a nice balancing act. And to top it off, the colors from the southern styles are amazing. So there you go. If you were thinking, I want to fancy it up, I don't want to be just some common everyday beer drinker when I have my hot dogs today, get yourself a nice bottle of risotto. And people will say, what are you, some hoity-toity fancy pants? And you'll go, exactly.
Actually,
exactly
the citrusy undertones.
That's right. Tell them about the super fun mouth party that you're going to have. Which sounds like a Japanese game show. Have you ever seen those Japanese game shows where they're doing all sorts of wild stuff?
Probably is one of them.
Yeah, super fun mouth party or something that, you know, you'd get in trouble for.
Yeah.
Just having a yes, talk about the tannins, talk about the crisp acidity, and impress your friends. Rather than going, hey, man, you got another 12er? And then watch me hold this Roman candle. And then things will blow up. I did not know, speaking of 4th of July and all these things, our last 4th of July thing, that there was a third verse originally in the Star-Spangled Banner. You know, the Star-Spangled Banner, of course, the national anthem, written by Francis Scott Key. It started as a poem called The Defense of Fort McHenry, and then it was set to a tune called the Anachronic, I don't know, song, something, which was composed in the late 1700s by a man named John Stafford Smith. Well, we know, most of us know, you know, Ashley, you know the Star-Spangled Banner, don't you? Could you sing it at a ball game if you had to? Nope, we can't hear you. Nope. You could just, no, not coming through. That's all right. How about you, Jen? You know all the words. Jen knows all the words.
I know all the words, but I definitely can't sing, so.
Well, that's all right, but you know the words.
Yeah.
You would not be, you would not pull a Roseanne or somebody else and just, you know, go completely off script. Or one of the, when they used to have, do they still do the celebrities singing at the Cubs game?
Yeah, sometimes.
Oh, boy.
That's like local news personalities, I know that happens.
Yeah, everybody needs to get the words. I didn't realize there was a third verse, which is historically problematic because Francis Scott Key, for those of you who don't know, and I did not know this, was a slave owner, and he had anti-abolitionist views. In the verse, he mentioned slaves and their role in the battle on both the American and the British side, and he talks about being terrorized in of flight and gloom of the grave. So there is a whole stanza that was cut from the national anthem because of its mocking of the British. It's talking about slavery. And when we became allies with the British in World War II, the verse drops out of the Star-Spangled Banner.
So oh.
There you go, yes.
So it was around for a while.
It was around for a while. The first line, he used the term free men, and three lines later he uses us, but it doesn't include African Americans, they say. The lyric, which to us today feels like a sacred statement on who we are as a nation, in 1814, a vision of a founding son of what he hopes the nation could become. In some ways, we're still trying. So that little history on the national anthem, Star-Spangled Banner, which you should sing at some point. just sing it some point today. I don't know if you want to sing it today. But, you know, it is an Independence Day, which is very, very exciting. All right, on the other side of the news, nothing more American than a road trip. Nothing. We just got back from one. I'm very excited. I love taking road trips, and I'm sure you do too. When you've been on your road trip, have you come across something that, one, really surprised you, or two, really disappointed you, or three, something that you got home and you had to tell everybody you knew about this because, oh my goodness, I can't believe what a wonderful trip I had. So we'll talk a little bit about road trips and songs that you want to have on your road trip soundtrack. So we'll get to all of that on the other side of the news. But right now, I must tell you that the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It is 2 o'clock, and this news is sponsored by Midwest Laundries. Here's Don Kleppen. Had I known you were going to play that, I should have stood up. Got to stand up during the national anthem. All right, now I feel bad that we cut it off. It's like we almost should. Is that unpatriotic that we stopped the national anthem? You know the words. You know how it is. Brian Noonan in for John Williams. Coming up at 3 o'clock, it's Amy Guth and Richard Roper. Or do you say Richard Roper and Amy Guth? Either way, they are in for Rowan Anna, and they are coming up in an hour. After 2:30, we will talk to ABC News to get a little update on what the president is doing regarding his Supreme Court nominee. We will, or who he may be choosing. He's had a lot of conversations, so we'll get to that. And the most disturbing outdoor accessory I have ever heard of, and I would gather the most disturbing outdoor accessory you have ever heard of. We will get to that before we get out of here at 3 o'clock. But let's talk about road trips a little bit, because there's nothing I enjoy more than a road trip. I spent years traveling the country for my work in the car, and I would drive all over, and I love it. And to this day, I still enjoy it. While I hate driving in the city and I hate traffic, I love to be in the car driving cross country. And over the last couple days, we put in almost 2,000 miles driving out to New York City and back. And I loved it. You know, there's some parts of the country where the scenery is a little boring. I'm looking at you, Nebraska. Have you ever driven through Nebraska? There's nothing. There's a whole lot of flat as you go through Nebraska.
I did traffic for a TV station in Nebraska. And the only backups we'd ever have were going eastbound. Yes. During sunrise, on the hills, coming up over on I-80, and then into the sun, you would get blinded, so everybody would stop.
Okay.
And those would be the only backups in Omaha.
Yes. Oh, so they were eastbound, they were going into Council Bluffs there?
Yeah, when they were, you know, or people going into work in the morning, sure, in downtown Omaha, and yeah, coming over the hills.
And those are the only hills in Nebraska, which would explain why people were that freaked out by it. And that big glowing orb in the sky. They don't sell, because it's odd, they don't sell sunglasses in Nebraska.
Yeah.
Which is weird. You have to go like Smokey and the Bandit over to Iowa or down,
really,
to Missouri.
Wow. Sure.
Well, that's why people were so thrown off by the sun, Jen.
Yeah,
I'm surprised after all the years you did traffic there, you didn't get that memo.
Well, I actually wasn't there. I did it from Chicago. Which was
an odd thing.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's the industry norm, doing traffic for cities where you're not.
But yeah, so when people are like, oh, people in Chicago don't know how to drive, just think. There's other parts of the country where, yeah, that may be more true than here.
Yeah, there's a lot of people who really shouldn't be driving. But once you get out on the highways and byways and you're in the middle of the country, you can really see a lot of stuff. And I enjoy it. And my... we had the same dynamic on this road trip that we had on a road trip a few months ago when we drove down to New Orleans, where my wife will say, I'll drive some. And I say, yeah, okay. And then as we were driving out, we left at about 2 in the morning on Saturday to drive out to New York. And she was asleep before we really got out of the neighborhood. And then she woke up about 3 hours later and through the snores and the drool was like, hey, you want me to drive? And I'm like, you can barely open your eyes. No, I'll keep driving. So I would stop and, you know, get my coffee and whatnot. And I end up doing all the driving, which, I'll be honest, I'm much more comfortable that way than doing all the driving. But as we were driving, we came across something that I had heard rumors of, and I had heard people from the East Coast talk about, but I had never experienced. And we finally experienced it, and I started thinking, boy, I can't be the only one who's been on a road trip and found something that they had to share with everybody. Or you were so surprised and so happy about it that it made the road trip. It added something that you never thought was going to be part of your trip, and it is. On the flip side, I would love to hear the stories of, hey, we took a four-hour detour to see the world's biggest ball of twine, and it was awful. Or so-and-so told me I had to go see X, and when we got there, it was a complete waste of time. So 312-981-7200. Katie's going to jump on in a second. But here's what we found, and I will tell anybody, if you are driving, and you probably know this if you've been to the East Coast, if you have never been to a Wawa before...
Wawa.
Have you never heard? It's
no, I don't do a lot of road trips. Okay. So, yeah, let's hear all about it.
All right. This is a thing on the East Coast. It goes all the way down to Florida. They come out. They're in New York. The furthest east they come, to my recollection, to my knowledge, is the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
So you can still get to a Wawa. It's the people from New Jersey and New York who are going to the Poconos, and you have a Wawa. Now, imagine a gas station convenience store, but taken up to a level of casual restaurant. They make fresh hoagies and heroes in this place.
Huh.
They've got arguably some of the best coffee and myriad of varieties of coffee and additions. They have a fresh bakery in-house. So you go in and you go up to, if you want a hero, and a friend of mine who grew up in New York, I said, hey, I sent her a picture when we pulled into this Wawa in New Jersey. I said, we're at Wawa. What do you recommend? She said, you got to get coffee, you have to get a hero, and you have to get tasty cakes, which is like a Hostess product on the East Coast. And if you're a fan of Seinfeld, you probably remember them talking about tasty cakes. So I got a coffee, and then you go up to a kiosk, and you punch in what kind of sandwich. They have the sandwich menu, and while you go and pay, prints out your receipt, while you go and pay for your sandwich, they're in the back making these hot and cold heroes. And they're phenomenal sandwiches. I dare say they put any sub-sandwich chain to shame. They are phenomenal sandwiches.
It looks like, according to their website, it is Hoagie Fest.
It is Hoagie Fest.
And they have hot turkey with cranberry sauce and stuffing on a hoagie.
That's the gobbler, and that was the sandwich that I had. Because they made a huge thing, they made a huge deal that it was back on the menu, Jen. And
yeah.
I think if somebody's that excited that they have brought a sandwich back, then I have to try this sandwich. So the gobbler is exactly... Imagine Thanksgiving dinner on a toasted hoagie roll.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's the carbs. There's the carbs we were talking about earlier. That Weight Watchers point value, 7,000,
yeah.
I believe. But, you know.
Worth it.
Worth it. I didn't go. I went with they have a junior, a shorty, and the full. And I went with the shorty. So it's only 6 inches. I could have gone with the full, but I'm not an animal. But yes, you go with the gobbler. That was a good one. But the point is, it's such a great thing. Especially if you're driving and you're like, oh, I don't want to take time to go into a restaurant, but I'm looking for something. And the other nice thing,
mm-hmm.
here's for you, Jen. They had a huge cooler in the middle, fresh fruit, granolas. They have all sorts of healthy things to eat, as well as all sorts of your normal road trip garbage that you like to, we like to stock up on.
Yeah.
They had my favorite thing in the world, the Coke Freestyle machine.
Yes, those are great.
Oh, man. Cherry Vanilla, mm-hmm. Coke Zero.
Yep.
Big one. And because it's Hoagie Fest or Hero Fest, whatever Hoagie Fest, 32-ounce drink was a dollar. So it was, oh, my goodness.
Why don't we have these here?
I don't know.
Are they franchises? Is it time for Brian Noonan to open up one?
If I could open up some Wawas heading down 57 or out 55, you know, past
the Jane
Plainfield
Adams.
Area. Yeah, oh, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Puts 7-Elevens to shame, puts all the convenience stores to shame. So there you go. That was one of my big finds that now I can't wait to drive, because I really have no desire to drive back to New York. But if I could stop at a Wawa, all right, you know, that sounds like a good plan. Katie's been hanging on. She's got a road trip story. Hi, Katie. Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July, Brian and Jen. How are you two?
We are good.
Hey, so my story might not be as exciting as a Thanksgiving hoagie or like the biggest ball of twine, but I know that your listeners are going to relate to it because right now I'm on a road trip back from Wisconsin with my parents, and we noticed that coming into Wisconsin and then coming back into Illinois, there was no sign welcoming us saying, welcome to Illinois, and we were really hoping for it, but our GPS welcomed us. Our GPS said, welcome to Illinois. Yeah, so it was on the GPS, which we're not supposed to be looking at all the time.
No.
but in a previous road trip.
There's no signs that welcome you to
no.
Illinois?
Yeah, so like traffic traffic jam, Jen. What's going on there? Like, why aren't there signs on 94 welcoming us into, you know?
Yeah, is there something we need to know, Jen?
Have
all the signs been taken off that we don't want to welcome people? We want people to stay out of Illinois?
I don't know, but I want to know who the genius is that put this person named Katie on the air today.
Uh-oh.
Does she sound like me, or does she sound like me?
Pretty similar.
She does. Is this someone you know,
sisters,
Jen?
This is my little sister.
Oh, well, see.
Well, at least you guys are listening to us. Thank you.
Yeah, that's good, Katie. Yeah, you could listening to some, you know, some sort of DJ mixings of the hottest hits of the day, but we're glad you're here with us.
So we turned off our EDM music to listen to our lovely Jen.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, there was times that we went to, like, St. Louis and stuff, and they had the Welcome to St. Louis. But,
of course.
So was this on 94, the Tri-State coming in, that you guys did not
exactly.
see?
Exactly.
All right, we're going to look into
twice,
this.
Twice, yeah.
And I'm trying to think, coming in across the Borman, if there's big signs that welcome you to Indiana, would you cross into Indiana? But
yeah,
I don't think coming back on the Borman, there's welcome to Illinois signs either.
Well, if anybody who is listening is coming from Wisconsin or Indiana or even Iowa, who's a passenger, take pictures. Let us see the welcome to Illinois sign.
If there are any, because Jen's sister Katie could be, you know, delirious from her dance party rave that they've been having in the car until they turn this on. All right, we're going to check into this, Katie, because as much as a lot of what Illinois does infuriates me, I don't want to think that we are that unfriendly that we don't want to welcome people to our state.
Right? Is that why everybody's leaving?
That's probably because they don't feel welcome. If they don't want me here, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to go to Indiana. I'm going to go to Missouri. I'm going to watch all those Bruce Rauner commercials where he's being thanked for sending jobs everywhere. Maybe the sign maker jobs left, too.
Maybe.
This is awful. Awful.
Yeah, we're just encouraging people to get more technological and look at their GPS systems. Like when we went over the Mississippi River once, and my mom was just so fascinated that there was so much blue on her GPS. I'm like, Mom, look out the window. There's a river. There's an actual blue river.
Looking out the window is for chumps. Nobody wants to look out the window.
Yeah, right.
We got to look at screens.
Right.
That's the only thing we can look at. Well, Katie, thank you for listening, and thank you for tipping us off to how unfriendly the state is. Now, back to driving carefully and headbanging with your EDM.
You're welcome. Have a good day, guys. See you soon.
Love you guys.
Love you, too. Bye.
See you later. That was what a nice surprise.
Yeah, that was a very nice surprise. How adorable.
Boy, the tone of your how adorable is
suspect.
Yeah, very suspect. You're right, Don.
Now, you know, we've been doing the radio, TV, whatever thing, the media thing for years, so it's always a treat when you hear your family listening to you or you get a text message from a friend that's like, I just heard you, because it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot that there's people on the other side that hear us.
I always assume my family is not listening, so I'm like you, Jen. When they do say, hey, we listen to the show, I'm like, really? I didn't think you cared one way
or another. What did I talk about?
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to quiz
them.
You.
Yeah.
Well, it's fun. I got a text once a couple Sundays ago. I was in the middle of talking about something. I got a text from one of my brothers. I'm listening to you driving back from Springfield. I was like, oh, okay. Well, wow, that's great. I never would have guessed.
Now I shouldn't talk about you.
All right. Now, I don't want to say that your sister Katie is spreading disinformation, Jen. I don't want to say that at all. I'll let you say that later. But we're getting texts. From the 219, there's a green welcome to Illinois sign on the Borman as you enter Illinois, so that answers my question.
Awesome.
There's a welcome sign on the Tri-State, according to the 847.
Okay.
Matt from Marengo saying there's a welcome to Illinois sign north of Rockford on I-90.
Okay.
So we're getting, maybe they just missed
all
it.
Of them.
They could have just been rocking out.
They might have been to the EDM radio station that we have, or maybe Kenosha has.
Yeah, well, Kenosha is known for their EDM. That's all they want to do. Matt wants to jump in. Now we've got Signwatch 2018. Hi, Matt.
Hi, King Brian. How are you? I love hearing your dulcet tones on Not a Sunday.
Well, thank you, Matt.
Because of football or baseball. Anyway. Yeah, so I don't really, to be quite honest, I don't really pay attention to many of the signs, like, on the expressway saying things, unless it's like a road sign, of course. But I will tell you that the only one I can think of on the Skyway, when you're going through the toll booths, it says, I pass, $1.50, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's one that says, Welcome to Illinois. And that's all I remember on the Indiana toll road.
On the Skyway, there is. I saw that one last night. There is one on the Skyway. We're still trying to find out on 94, the border with Wisconsin. I don't know if there's some sort of animosity.
There's no sign. I used to work in Wisconsin. I drove there every day for 6 months. Let me tell you, there is no sign.
And that is like the biggest into Illinois, from Milwaukee straight to Chicago.
And Wisconsin has a giant Welcome to Wisconsin wood one with the big Wisconsin state cutout. Oh, it's gorgeous. So, I don't know. There's some sort of feud, some border war that's going on.
Well, Wisconsin, but they're good.
They're great. B-dogs. Keep it up.
Thank you, Matt. Bye-bye. Yeah, all right. Well, let's take a quick break. People are sending... Well, we're getting a lot of response to this. There's a lot... You never know what's going to strike a chord, but thanks to Jen's sister, Katie, now we are on Signwatch 2018. We'll get more updates and so much more on the other side. It's WG. Neil Diamond. Yes, the jazz singer. Look at that. Brian Noonan in for John Williams. We are talking about, well, we had a lot of things to talk about, and we still do have a lot of things to talk about, but suddenly we are trying to figure out if, in fact, Illinois is trying to snub Wisconsin and not have by not having a Welcome to Illinois sign on 94 as you come south from Milwaukee, Kenosha, that area. Let's see. There used to be a sign on 94 right before 41 splits off. They took it down for some reason, I suspect due to construction in the area. That from the 262. And this is someone who lives in Kenosha. So we'll take that as, you know, as gospel as we can from an anonymous texter. But there you go. And somebody, you know, I was complaining about the scenery in Nebraska. And somebody said, I need to get off I-80. Northern Nebraska has great rolling plains northwest following the Oregon Trail along the North Platte. I've been in North Platte. North Platte is different because you're heading up toward Colorado and stuff. So North Platte, but the middle of Nebraska. Once you leave, if you're driving on I-80 and you leave Omaha, the Omaha area, and you're just shooting across the middle of Nebraska, forget about it. There's nothing. You could just fall asleep and somehow secure your steering wheel straight and wake up at the other end, and you'd be fine.
Traffic reporter does not endorse this.
No, well, you should not. No one should really endorse anything that I say on this program. I say it, and people will go, do you remember what you said? Absolutely not. Nope. You remember you told people to put a club on their car and just drive while they were asleep? No, did I say that? Did I? Are you sure? Check the tape. I said, you could. Did I say you should?
No,
not at all. Dave wants to jump in. Hi, Dave.
Yeah, good afternoon. You're talking about signs. When Blagojevich was kicked out or arrested or impeached, whatever they finally did with it, it cost the state a couple hundred thousand to take his name off all the signs over the oases
and the tollways. Yep.
And then it cost the county here in Cook County, the Forest Reserve, when Stroger finally left or whatever happened. When Dad left, and that they had to take, just went back into just Forest Preserve to take his name off all the signs.
I think that's the best way anyway. We don't need the elected officials' names up there. If we want to name something after a former politician or a civic leader, that's fine. We don't need to do this because, you know, chances are the person's name on that sign is going to change anyway. And while we may have to update the signs, you know, maintenance wise, we shouldn't have to put all that money into changing the names on the sign. Because really, does anybody care who's in charge of the Park District? We just want to know, hey, this is the Forest Preserve. That's great. Oh, the Illinois Tollway System, or Welcome to Illinois. You know, put the people of Illinois. Whatever. We don't need the government or the governor's name. We don't need the mayor's name for the Welcome to Chicago signs. We just need to welcome people. And I think the residents are the ones who are really welcoming, because people who are going to come to Illinois, they're not going to run into the governor, but they're going to run into us. And if we're welcoming, people are going to want to come back. Same with the city. So it just changes up. Now, I hear, Dave, that you may have a road trip story as well.
No, I haven't had any road trips recently, no. My last road trip was 17 hours from Philadelphia in one day. That was enough for me, though.
17 hours from Philly here?
Yeah, I had to come back one day because we had rained, and we decided to go to the boardwalk, and then the next day, instead of taking two, we took one day. But that was 30-some years ago. I won't drive that much anymore.
No, I used to be able to. Thank you for the call, Dave. I used to be able to drive that, you know, that much. Now, 13 hours yesterday was enough. I was pretty much done after 13 hours. I think, you know, you get to a certain age, your body can't handle it anymore. You just kind of like, you're just done. But speaking of that, one last thing, about these road trips, because you can find little things. And I've always had my wife and my friends and my daughter always mention this. I have a weird ability when we're on a road trip to be able to spot somewhere good to eat. Because whenever maybe you're like me, when you're on vacation, I try not to eat at chain restaurants. Nothing wrong with a chain restaurant, but if I'm going somewhere, I want to eat where the locals eat. I want to see what you've got to offer in your city. I have this weird sixth sense, and I think it's because of so much time I spent on the road. But I found a place. If you ever find yourself, Jen, in Grand Junction, Colorado, which is the border of Utah and Colorado.
Okay.
Beautiful place, because we were driving back from L.A. and we're coming through Utah, which, here's another surprise, I didn't realize how gorgeous the scenery in Utah was. If you like desert and vistas and that kind of thing, oh my God.
Lots of red rocks, right?
Yes.
A lot of national parks out there, too.
It's beautiful. Beautiful. I couldn't stop raving about it when I got home. But we had driven from L.A., so by the time we got through Utah to the Colorado border, I was done. And it was getting dark, and I didn't want to drive through the mountains in the dark. So we pull off in Grand Junction, and we get ourselves a hotel room. And now I'm trying to find a place to eat with my daughter. If you're ever in there in Grand Junction, stay at the Quality Inn. Treat yourself. Because those are the kind of five-star hotels I stay at. But it's not the Quality Inn. They have an Italian restaurant in the Quality Inn. And I always, up to this point, I had made a habit of avoiding hotel restaurants. Because usually, you know, unless you're in a major city, the hotel restaurants are kind of, you know. They're not, they're kind of run-of-the-mill. This Italian restaurant had this short rib gnocchi. Gnocchi, I don't know how you pronounce it.
Gnocchi.
Gnocchi, that's it. Thank you. The most fabulous dish I've ever eaten.
Short rib, wow.
Oh, it was terrific. The sauce had some sort of short rib. Oh, it was just terrific. So if you find yourself there, go to the Quality Inn. Don't be afraid of the Italian restaurant, the Grand Junction Quality Inn. Tell them I sent you. It won't do any good. But they'll say, oh, that's weird. So nobody sends people here. I do. All right, you know where else I have to send people? To the break, and then to the newsroom, and then we're going to find out what the president is doing and who he's talking to for a potential Supreme Court nominee. We'll do all of that starting now on WGN. Brian Noonan in for John Williams on 720 WGN. Happy Independence Day. Hope you are having a wonderful, safe 4th of July. Relaxing if you are not working, and productive if you are working, like myself, like Janae Norman from ABC News, and presumably like the government. The president is trying to come up with his nominee for the Supreme Court opening. He has a list, as we know, of about 25 candidates, and he has been meeting with some of those. And as I mentioned, Janae Norman from ABC News is here to help us make sense of that. Janae, thank you for taking some time this afternoon. Happy 4th of July.
Thank you. Happy 4th of July to you.
Okay, so the president has met with how many, had conversations with how many of the people on his list to this point?
So far we've confirmed that the president has met with seven candidates. That was four on Monday and three yesterday. At this point, we have heard that he is not supposed to meet with any candidates, to speak with any today, but of course that could change.
Sure, and that happens with everybody. You know, sometimes things just happen. This presidency, sometimes more unexpected things happen than not. What do we know about the candidates he's interviewed or he's talked to so far? Now, first of all of the people on this list have already been vetted through a couple different organizations, correct?
Right. And so these people, as you mentioned, he was already working from a list of 25 potential Supreme Court picks that the White House came out with last year when the president nominated Neil Gorsuch. So, of course, when he was doing those interviews last year, he likely had second, third, fourth favorites who he would have considered had Neil Gorsuch not been approved and confirmed. So now working from that list of 25, he's met or talked with seven altogether, has a couple who we're learning are front runners. But then, of course, you've got some groups, some senators weighing in, trying to, you know, get candidate that they feel would best fit, either to basically weighing in to sway the president's decision before he announces that decision on Monday.
Now, one of the potential front runners is Brett Kavanaugh, and you mentioned senators trying to get people who they think would be a good candidate. Now, Rand Paul has weighed in that he's got some concerns with Brett Kavanaugh. First off, what do we know about Brett Kavanaugh, and what are Rand Paul's concerns about him?
Right. So we know that Brett Kavanaugh, he is a front runner. He's a D.C. appeals judge. And Rand Paul has expressed concern over Kavanaugh's position on the Fourth Amendment search and seizure, specifically his opinion in favor of bulk metadata collection and his ruling that Obamacare is not constitutional. We know that Senator Ted Cruz has also called the White House about Kavanaugh. So some people weighing in there.
And they're saying some of the concerns from those senators and others is that he's too in line with the administration, almost to the point where they believe him to be a mouthpiece. Would that be an accurate assessment?
You know, I don't know if I want to sign on and say that is an accurate description exactly, but they certainly have some concerns about his position. And, you know, for President Trump, for a lot of Republicans, this is a chance to really sway the ideology of the Supreme Court, because Justice Kennedy, you know, he was a conservative, but willing to side with liberals. He was very much a swing vote who cast a deciding vote on some monumental decisions over the last 30 years that he served. So this is a really important seat. So you've got a lot of people weighing in. And for Republicans, it's going to be tough. It could be tough because they've only got that one seat majority. And, you know, as we've seen on some other issues, legislation, rather, that Republicans have voted on, it can be difficult to get the entire Republican Party in line if you go too far conservative, too far moderate. So that is something that they're going to be looking at closely.
The president also said the other day that he is looking for someone younger because he wants this appointee to be on the Supreme Court for a long time. Who on this list that you've seen, or maybe out of the seven that the president has spoken to so far, are they all about the same age range? Are we looking at a specific window of age?
You know, I don't know all of their ages offhand, but you don't have someone who's coming in, you know, at 80 years old. Specifically, when you think about Justice Kennedy, he is someone who served for 30 years, and the president has, you know, as he's talked about the importance of picking a Supreme Court candidate, he said that this is someone who will, you know, decide cases that could affect Americans for generations to come. And so depending on their age, when they are nominated and confirmed, they could serve for a very, very long time. So that's certainly, you know, a criteria that he's looking at, someone who is young enough that he can get them approved, get them on, and have them serve for a very long time.
Now, there are two women on the president's list of 25. One is Joan Larson, who is a federal appeals court judge in Cincinnati. What else do we know about her?
You know, we also know that there is Amy Coney Barrett. So those two women that he's looking at, we've heard that, you know, the president could be interested in, you know, nominating another woman to serve on the Supreme Court. And an important issue when it does come to women, and because we've heard talk about, you know, whether the president would nominate someone who could overturn Roe v. Wade. Those are things that, you know, he could be considering. But also when it comes to getting a nominee confirmed, that's something that you've also got some women senators who are going to be paying close attention to that as well. For instance, Senator Collins, as well as the other one from Alaska, Murkowski. So, you know, when it comes to whether the president will to nominate a woman, whether it be Joan Larson potentially or Amy Coney Barrett, that will be very, very closely watched.
Well, there, and Newt Gingrich is pushing hard. You mentioned lobbying and senators lobbying for people or people you know, other politicians lobbying for nominees that they want. And Newt Gingrich tweeted the other day that Judge Amy Coney Barrett would make an outstanding Supreme Court justice. Her clarity and intellectual strength in the Senate hearings for her current judgeship showed an intellect and a depth of thought that would be powerful on the Supreme Court. So Newt Gingrich coming out for her. But as you mentioned, Senator Collins is coming out saying, no, you know, she might be too hard. You know, we don't necessarily want to back someone who is going to overturn Roe v. Wade. Is that right. Going to be the biggest stumbling block for a nominee, Roe v. Wade, or will there and some of the other issues? But that seems to be the one that everybody is focusing on now.
Well, you know, specifically about Amy Coney Barrett, ABC News has learned that anti-abortion rights groups and activists have been quietly lobbying against Kavanaugh and in favor of Amy Coney Barrett. But that is something because the Republican majority in the Senate, when it comes to getting a nominee approved, because it's so slim, it is and even more slim, depending on whether Senator McCain is back to vote or not.
Mm-hmm.
Republicans are going to need every last vote that they can get. And if you have someone who, you know, even shows a willingness to overturn Roe v. Wade, you've got two female Republican senators right away who could absolutely say, you know what, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, then that nomination is sunken. So that will certainly, because that is an issue where you have enough, you have those two women Republican senators who could sink it right away. Roe v. Wade will be a very, very closely watched issue as far as a Supreme Court nominee goes.
And as you mentioned earlier, the president still on still reported that he will make his nomination on Monday, right?
That is what we're hearing. And if you remember with Neil Gorsuch, it was made in prime time, must-see TV.
Yes.
So that's what we're anticipating here.
Right. Well, we will all be watching. Janae Norman, thank you very much for taking some time this afternoon. Good to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Janae Norman, ABC News. All right. Let's take a quick break. And then, as promised, the most disgusting, troubling, bothersome outdoor item that you can ever imagine. If you like to hike, if you like to run, if you like to be out in nature, I'm wondering if you would like this. We'll talk about that and so much more as we get ready to wrap things up here on WGN. What America song is this?
American Pie.
Oh, this American Pie? Oh, we're getting, yeah, now we're going to get to once. Now it'll start. Now I understand it. I did the whole big prelude, the prologue. Now I get it. All right. Happy 4th of July, Independence Day. Be careful. I want to be able to give you a full high five tomorrow, not a high three or a high four because you had an M80 accident later today. I enjoy the fireworks. I enjoy watching them from a distance. The other night we were driving through Brooklyn, which is a sentence I never thought I would say, but we were driving through Brooklyn, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the street, a young man ran out and set off one of those giant mortar tube fireworks just in the middle of a residential street. I had to pull over and stop because I didn't want my car to be showered with molten explosives that were raining down from above. So be careful tonight. Have fun. And if you're off this holiday weekend and you're out doing some nature type of thing, and perhaps you're taking a hike, you're taking a run. I know, Jen, you said you like to run. You're an athlete. If you've ever been out running around, you mentioned that you like to stop at Navy Pier to get maybe a Starbucks or a little something to eat. Have you ever thought of just cooking yourself, bringing some, being a self-contained unit while you were out running, not having to go to the pier or somewhere else?
Oh, yeah. I typically always have nutrition on me, but, you know, sometimes you just need ice cream.
Well, sure, of course. I don't listen. This is ice cream is one thing, but since you always have nutrition on you, have you ever thought, boy, I wish I could make myself a hot meal while I'm running, and yet I can't? Well, now you can. Introducing, and I know I sound just like a bad infomercial.
This is great.
Introducing the crotch pot.
What?
That's right. The crotch pot, the most disturbing outdoor piece of apparatus ever. The heat from your undercarriage, your region, we create a lot of heat down there. If you've ever been working out or something, you go, you're just like, ah, man, everything feels warm down in my area. Well, now someone has come up with a way to use that heat to become completely self-sufficient while running. The crotch pot is a little bag. It's for backcountry use. It is because, as I mentioned, the hottest part of the human body is your crotchal region. So it is a bag that is
made by Gossamer Gear. Doesn't have permeability.
Well, no, it does not. It's some sort of fabric, and you put your food in a Ziploc bag. A quart-sized Ziploc bag will fit in this pot, this crotch pot. So then it's got little clips. So if you have a belt loop, it will just clip onto your belt loop, and then you drop it down the front of your pants. So say you want some oatmeal, or you're running around and you want to make, I don't know, a fettuccine Alfredo in your pants. You can do that. That's right, Guth. Guth already looking in, wondering, how am I going to follow fettuccine Alfredo in your pants? You can't. That's why I do it. It's a big mic drop. That's how I end the show. Follow that, Guth. Boom. And then I leave. But you can. So you fill your Ziploc bag with your fettuccine and your cold water. And then you drop it into your crotch pot. Your crotch pot is either clipped to your belt loop, or if you're in running shorts, you take some safety pins and you pin those on the pin those on your waistband, then drop your crotch pot right in there. Now, as you're running along, and this may be mistaken for other things, and I'm going to apologize to anybody in advance, but this is all real. If you don't believe me, you can go to Gossamer Gear and look it up. This is a real thing. I wish I was making it up, because then I would have invented it and made a fortune. So as you're running along, you need to knead your crotch pot a little bit so you can mix up your ingredients. So now, Jen, you're on a nice run in the afternoon, especially a day like today. It's in the 90s. Your fettuccine is going to be done pretty soon. So you pull over wherever you are. You drop down on a bench and you reach into your pants, and suddenly you pull out a nice little appetizer, crudités are in there. You don't want crudités. Those are going to get hot and soggy. You want your fettuccine in there, or oatmeal. You could do oatmeal. You could do a soup. Anything that you could cook on a stove, you could cook in your crotch.
I think I've been shaking my head no for the past 3 minutes now.
I know, but that's a mistake. Here's the problem. You're judging, and you shouldn't judge until you try it. Since you're a runner, I would be willing to spend the $19 to get it for you. I'm not gonna walk around making stew in my pants. I have enough problem making my own gravy in the summer. There's no way I'm cooking up my lunch in the front of my khakis.
So I put my pack under my shirt in the winter so it doesn't freeze and I can have water.
Same kind of thing.
Okay.
Same kind of thing.
Okay.
But now you can cook.
Can we just keep it away from the crotchal region?
No, because that's where the heat is. That's where, and I'm not saying you. That's where we as humans generate our most heat.
Oh,
I don't want to be dragged into HR. Hey, did you tell Jen DeSalvo that her region generated a lot of heat? Kind of, but don't take it out of context.
It'll still be on the Nick DiGilio show.
Probably. Probably. So it is designed for people, hikers and runners, who believe in that mentality of not bringing a lot of things in with you. You only take out what you bring in. And so if you bring your lunch in your pants, well, then your lunch leaves with you.
I definitely can see the need for this. And there's lots of people that I know who would probably use something like this on their biggest, you know, their big, long,
that's right,
like fastest known time Pacific Coast Trail type runs. But I'm not interested in eating anything from that region of my body.
But it's two layers removed. It's not like you're laying it on your, you know, it's got the Ziploc bag, and we know Ziplocs are impermeable.
Still not changing my opinion.
Okay, what about the Cuban fiber, high-performance, ultra-lightweight fabric?
Whatever that means.
And it won't chafe. That's what it says.
Well, then that's important.
That's right. It's not going to chafe you. You're just going to drop right down the front, and everything's going to be lovely.
Well, you do it first, Brian, and right, I will follow after.
All right, that's fine. I wonder. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering how much heat I can generate during a show. Because if that's the case, I will buy a crotch pot and I will cook something,
and then leave it here for the overnight staff.
No, I'll put it in at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm, and then in the last segment, we'll eat what comes out of my pants.
Brian Stew.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just fantastic. Well, you know what? We're going to get the thoughts on that and so much more. Richard Roper and Amy Guth are coming up after me, and I'm sure they're like, please, can we come on a couple minutes early, because we're all done eating fettuccine out of our pants. Let's take a quick break, then we'll come back and see what those two are up to, and we will say goodbye. It's all happening here on WGN. All right. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the program. Have a wonderful, happy, and safe 4th of July as I wait to see what chairs Richard Roper and Amy Guth have decided to pull up. There we go.
I'm going Mike 4.
Are you going Mike 4? Oh, you look like you were going Mike 3. I was all set. I was going to sound like I knew what I was doing. Welcome. Happy 4th of July to both of you.
Hello.
I'll
happy
4th
of July.
Mics.
You all right?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
There That's you are. Now you're on.
Do you have us now?
I got you. Yeah, cool. Sure. I don't need to yell, Rich. It's all right.
Are these microphones working? Are they, I know. Ro always tells me, you know, you could just be in the other room, or we could just turn the mic off for you. Shut up.
I'm very loud. The same where my, you know, I'm turned way down because I just generally am loud. What have you enjoyed your 4th of July to this point? Have you been out doing all sorts of things? Have you been festive? Have you blown anything up?
No. I did all of those things did by you? 8 o'clock this morning.
That's how it should be.
And then I took a nap.
You are a good American, Richard Roper.
My neighbors took care of that and blew up everything in the whole neighborhood until about 4:30 this morning.
Oh, that's
so
fun.
I'm good. That's, yeah.
4:30? That seems about...
I appreciate their patriotism.
Sure. They're good Americans, too.
Yeah.
Because you can't stop at 11 o'clock at night. That's, you might as well be a communist.
No, I mean... Not that there's anything wrong with that. Well, but like around midnight-ish, there was a little bit of a drunk fight they had. One of those like, you know, those couple fights, like you don't even know what you're fighting about. There's right. like,
you
no.
You said I could set off some of the bottle
you
rockets
just never
as well.
Tell me that I'm pretty. Like one of those kind of weird fights.
And so he decided to blow stuff up. I'll show you how pretty you are. Come here. There's a Chevette outside that needs to get blown up.
Yeah, so then there was just more firework.
I had a neighbor like that. I'll change the names, but like, and he would always end up starting on her about her work kind of buddy, you know. So he'd be like, "Why don't you call your friend Eric, Sharon? Maybe Eric understands you more."
Wow.
And then I'd see them in the morning, and I'd be like, "How's Eric?"
Shut up. Don't talk about Eric. Yeah. So yes. I know you're not going to just talk about Eric and Sharon, even though that would
you
be
say
fun,
that.
That would be a fun 2.5
Names
hours.
Have been changed to protect me.
So what else will you be covering?
Well, we are certainly going to check in with our good friend Tom Skilling.
Of course.
About all
that's
the
right, guys.
That's a good Skilling.
So you don't have to check in. You've got
we
Tom
got
Skilling right here.
We got the original.
All right, so you're going to find out how hot it's going to be for how long.
Yeah, we're going to check in and see what's happening on the weather. You know, a lot of people making plans for the next several days. So we're going to check in with him. We're going to check in with WGN-TV's Ben Bradley.
Nice.
About all the things going on. And we are also going to be talking a little bit about some television.
That's right. There's
a new
reality show. I think especially Bears fans will find this fascinating. It's very Cavallari, and it's about Kristen Cavallari and her husband, this fellow by the name of Jay, that used to play pro football.
Don't know the man.
Yes.
And it's all about their life in Nashville, and he participates in the show. So you see more of Jay Cutler on camera in the first 2 hours of this series than you saw in the entirety of like his 8 years here.
I don't want to spoil the conversation, but can you tell me, does he ever change facial expressions?
Well, I will tell you this, my friend. That is a great question. He changes hat. He goes from stocking cap to backwards baseball cap.
Wow.
And I will say, for those of you who are wondering, no, he is not pursuing a doctorate or has not started a philanthropic entity yet in his retirement.
Well, good to see he's still embracing his bro-ness.
And we also talked, Amy Guth has a brand new position. It made national news. Everybody was talking about it this week.
Congratulations.
So we're going to talk about that as well.
Very nice. All right. Well, enjoy Amy Guth, Richard Roper, or do you say Richard Roper and Amy Guth?
Amy Guth and Richard Roper.
They're both coming up.
That way she gets blamed for anything that goes wrong.
Yeah, Roper's like, I don't know, I just came in.
Sidekick.
I was sitting in the other chair. You know that chair, they don't do nothing happens. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. The news is sponsored by AppleChevy.com. A little after 3 o'clock, but that's okay. Who's up there? Oh, it's Ryan Burrow. Hi, Ryan.